Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
This past Sunday morning, David Raymer gave an amazing message to the body of Christ here at Voice, and he was talking about the importance of understanding and knowing who Jesus really is. Because so many people, so many institutions are trying to belittle him or bring him down. And tonight, I believe that you're here because God wants you to understand just how important his son is in your life and in the times ahead. David Raymer said, "It is important to understand that Jesus, in his full identity, will pervade every aspect of our life someday. That Jesus in his full identity someday is going to be a part of all of our lives if we choose him as our Lord and Savior. He is more than just a nice guy with moral concepts. He is the smartest man that ever lived. He is a king that has all authority in heaven and on earth." And then he used this scripture, Colossians chapter 1. I'll refer to it a little bit tonight. Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 15, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God," talking about Jesus, "the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth." By him everything was created. Jesus has always been on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Verse 17 says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, whom is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it is pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell," that only in Christ all fullness would dwell, "and by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Our culture minimizes who Jesus is. And if there's anything that I want to do tonight, it is to proclaim the passion, the power, the fullness of who he is and how he loves you and how he loves me. I don't want to preach anything but Jesus and him crucified. I want to tell you tonight that it is all about Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus. And as our culture tries to diminish him, we need to stand firm and proclaim who he is. We need to allow the Holy Spirit even tonight to reveal the depth of the Father's heart toward the Son and the depth of who Jesus is in our lives. We can't minimize him. But Jesus has been reduced to an idea, even ignored in higher learning institutes. The true revelation of Jesus Christ will be manifested by his people before he returns. So tonight is about the greatest one who was ever born. Tonight is about the King of Glory. It's about his greatness, his preeminence, his supremacy, who he is, that it is all about him. And you need to ask the Lord with me tonight to reveal more and more of who Jesus really is. There is nothing more powerful in our lives when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and our lives are transformed because we meet Jesus for the first time. There's nothing more powerful than that. It changes my emotions. It satisfies me in places that nothing else can satisfy. And it's him. When the Spirit reveals Jesus to us, the Apostle Paul said, I give up. I lay everything down for the sake of knowing him and his majesty. And so even tonight, the Spirit of the living God longs to escort you and I into a deeper place of knowing who he is. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for you, wants to do it for your families, wants to do it for your children, wants to do it for whoever you influence so that you can influence them by knowing Christ in a deep, deep way. The Holy Spirit wants to do that tonight. And we need the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and understanding to us because we can't have it without him. And we need to allow him to have his way. Jesus, in order to be understood, in order to understand his greatness, the Holy Spirit has to have his way. So it is the Holy Spirit that gives to each and every one of us, to each and every one of us, according to our hunger for Him. The Holy Spirit has to stir that up within us. We have to ask Him to do that. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't just want to be a bored Christian. I want to be a flaming man of God, on fire for Jesus, giving Him glory and honor and reflecting who He is in my life. I don't want to conform to just a relationship, a churchy relationship with Jesus. I want a Holy Spirit on fire relationship with the living God through His holy word. The Holy Spirit will not force Himself on us. The Holy Spirit has to be allowed to move in your lives. He will not force this treasure that we call Jesus on us. So if you would with me, I just want to pray. And I want you to repeat after me. You don't have to, but I just put down this simple prayer. And I thought if we could all just pray it in unity, it would mean so much as Jesus peers over the balcony of heaven and looks down in this place and says, look at them, Father, in Elkhart. They want to know me more. They really, really do. So will you pray with me? Lord, we pray. Stir us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Not my will, Lord, but your will. Open my eyes. Open my heart to the fullness that is found in Jesus. In Jesus. In Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Father's full message to humanity. That's who He is. He's the fullness of God. And He's the full message to all humanity. He is our message. There is not going to be any other message given anywhere, anytime, except the message of who Jesus is. He's the ruling and the reigning King. He's the King of glory coming back to establish His kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years, a millennial reign, that His righteousness and justice will go forth. He's everything. He's going to rule all the governments. All the nations are going to bow. And this God, this King of glory, wants to be close to you and wants to know you and wants you to know Him and will never, ever, ever give up on you. Even when He disciplines you, you know what discipline is for? It's not to punish you. It's not to abuse you from anger. Many people think God's an angry God. He's not. He's slow to anger. But even His discipline is to bring you in right relationship with Him. That's what the discipline is for, to bring you into a relationship. If I get angry and I discipline my children, it really, if it's rage and anger, it's really coming from a place of abuse. If I discipline my children in such a way and punish them, I'm punishing them for the past that they did. But if I can bring my children into the place of reconciliation, in the place of forgiveness, in the place of repentance, and ask the Lord to come, and then my children would humble themselves, what it would do, it would create a better relationship with me and my children and God. Because I allow God's love, God's ways of discipline to have their way within my life and within my children's life. You and I both know that the Lord doesn't condemn us. He loves us. He believes in us. There's no condemnation found in Him. He wants you to be reconciled. So even in His discipline, it's for relationship, for you and the Lord to draw near. It's all about relationship. It's not about all the things you can do. It's about relationship with Jesus and knowing Him and showing Him the hidden places of your heart, allowing Him to help you with your wounds, allowing Him to help you with your pain and your sadness and your loss. It's all about Jesus. And it always will be. Jesus is the full and final, I want to say final, message of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To know what God is saying, we must look to Jesus. We must understand what His Word is saying. We must read the Word. We got to go deep in His Word. We got to declare it. We need to eat it. We need to enjoy it. We need to pray His Word in our lives. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:8 says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, who had real prominence in his day with the Sadducees and Pharisees, this guy was pretty worldly. And he encounters the living God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he says everything is just rubbish compared to knowing Him. Why did he say that? Because he encountered Him. He saw Him in His majesty. He saw Him in His glory. He knew who He was. I count all things but a loss. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 1:1-3. I had read this not long ago. I'm going to read it from the New King James. I'm just going to read through it and then talk a little bit about this verse. If you want to know who Jesus is, look at Hebrews 1:1-3. It reveals who he is. And it's amazing. And by the time we get done here, just in a few minutes, I hope that God has revealed something deeper to you about who Jesus is. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The Father has spoken by his Son. That's number one, his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, heir of everything. He gets it all. Through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus was there making, creating. He created this earth. When he walked on the earth, he created it. It's right there in the scripture. Who being the brightness of his glory, the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And Jesus died, why? So that we could have a relationship with him. So that we could be cleansed from our sin. It says in Hebrews 1, 2, it says, whom he has appointed an heir of all things. The Father has appointed him as ruler and authority over all the land, over all the heavens, everything. That's what this says, that Jesus, the one that everybody's trying to diminish and belittle, is going to have full, absolute, has it now, governing power over everything. And we're going to live in that place with him if we choose. It's absolutely ignorance to not choose Jesus and to live for him. It's absolutely insane when you know the word of God and that it's living and that you would see who he is and not want to do everything possible to develop some intimate relationship with him and for him to have his way in your life. In Psalm 2, I don't have this on the screen, but Psalm 2 verse 8, it says, I, the Father, will give you the nations for your inheritance. Jesus will be given all the inheritance, the government, the property, the money, the resources, every possession of earth. Jesus will oversee it and have rule over it. Isn't that crazy? Everything. See, we got this thing sometimes that we think so spiritual that we don't understand that God created the earth and he loves it. It was his creation. He wants to restore it. Many people think the book of Revelation is that God's going to destroy and take us away to heaven. No, God's coming back to establish his kingdom, to make it the way that it was intended to be in the Garden of Eden. This is true. This is the word of the Lord. And so he's not coming to take us away. He's coming to stay and to establish his kingdom for us. This is amazing to me. It just excites me. You can tell I'm a little excited tonight. Okay, turn to Revelation chapter 5. Did I give you that one? I think I did. Revelation chapter 5. And let's just read verses 1 through 8. It's a little bit of scripture, but chapter 5, verse 1. And this is John having a vision on the island. They put John aside on an island. You know the story. This is John having this revealed to him. And he says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, the Father, a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, John said, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed. That should just... You just erupt with a hand clap. The Lion of the tribe has prevailed. Jesus has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose it. Now, John's vision, he saw the Father. This is what this is saying. John saw the Father give the title deed of heaven and earth to Jesus. That's exactly what it's saying. He handed everything over to him. It's just not some story. It is, the Father says, here, son. What I spoke in the scripture is true. You have all rights. You have all authority. You have everything. It's all yours. That blows me away. He gives the title deed to earth, to the heavens, everything to Jesus. And Jesus receives that total authority. I could go on and read more there. Well, let's do it. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power." There it is. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Everything. To receive it all. Jesus, the one that people are making fun of. The ones that say, don't say his name. You can say God, but don't say his name. You can sing about God, but don't sing about Jesus. It gives us a clue that this world is moving completely away from the rightful owner, the rightful authority, the King of glory. It doesn't matter, school, work, it doesn't matter. Everything is trying to diminish who he is. You know what time I think we're in? We're in the time of the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. And I believe right now, with you and with me, God is trying to prepare us to be ready for the midnight hour, to be ready with our oil, our lamps trimmed, full and bright of the Holy Spirit living and active in our lives, proclaiming the truth about who Jesus is. And then we get an opportunity to go in and have a meal, to have a banquet with Jesus, the bridegroom conquering king. We get to have a meal with him. Oh my gosh, this is who he is. Don't allow some religion to create boredom in you. Allow the Holy Spirit to ignite you with fire, to go to the ends of the earth, proclaiming the goodness of who he is. Jesus, the King of glory. Jesus, during the millennial reign, let me just touch on this. It just said in the scripture that Jesus will receive all power. What does that mean? Absolute government authority over everything. He will rule and reign. Don't you want to get to know the guy that's going to rule and reign over all the governments of the land? I do. Riches, all the money, all the natural resources, all the gold, all the silver, it's his. He has dominion over it. Wisdom. He has amazing wisdom, intellectual ability, strength, physical strength. Through all the labor force that he will have, all those that are married to the bridegroom king, and the human resources, glory, all praise and adoration and love, honor. Everyone will esteem him with their obedience and blessing. They'll be in agreement with his policies, not Americans' policies. Jesus, listen to me, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who died and is coming back, will be the most powerful individual on the planet, the most wealthy, the most wise, the most supported, the most praised, the most loved, the most obeyed, the most respected, to listen to him. He's going to be the one that we all want to talk to. This is who he is, and he's coming. It said in Hebrews chapter 1 through 3, it says that he was the creator of all the worlds. In Colossians 1:16, what David had on Sunday, by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Everything was created by him. Jesus. It's amazing to me. And all things are going to be gathered onto Christ. And you say, well, wait a minute. What kind of power trip is this? This isn't a power trip. This is a love trip. This is someone who laid his life down, who redeemed us, who created all things, that we really think about the gospel, that he came as a baby. And if you don't know him tonight, the Holy Spirit wants you to know him tonight. If you need to recommit your life tonight, he wants you to do that. If you just need to lay it all down, as we've been singing tonight, to know him, to surrender everything. That's what he's asking you. I would not trust any door except the door that Jesus opens. I wouldn't. There's a few of us in here that's been around the block a few times. Time, truth, and fruit doesn't lie. You learn. You make many mistakes, and you wonder why. Why doesn't he give up on me? Why doesn't he just toast me? He just loves me. He loves me, and he loves you. The last thing I said, what he was the creator of the world, I think I said worlds. Jesus is also the radiance of God. It says that in 2 Corinthians 4:6. It says that it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's who he is. It says in John chapter 14, verse 9, it says, Jesus said to him, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus, this is so powerful. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, and upholding all things by the word of his power. You guys, and I'm speaking to myself, Jesus sustains the world right now just as he created it. He sustains all things. This is who Jesus is. Our sin is ramping up and overwhelming many, but Jesus, his grace and his mercy is available right now. His power is being withheld, but he's also the one who upholds all things. Jesus is the Redeemer. This is what just blows me away when I looked at this. Jesus is the Redeemer of the universe. Of the universe, not just earth, the universe. It says it in Daniel 7, 13 through 14. It says, "Behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, the Father. To him was given dominion, that all people should serve him." John chapter 17, 24. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me." This is who Jesus is. I can't live without him, and I hope you can't. I'm just blown away. Like, if you study those scriptures right there, if you just meditate on those scriptures, Colossians and Hebrews, and you begin to just, oh my. I mean, that's how what happens. Oh my. Oh my. You're kidding me. And a long time ago, I thought I had this phrase, "It's all about Jesus," and I thought it was, you know, I think that works. It sure does work. It is all about him. It always has been. It always will be. I wouldn't want to do anything without him. And many people right now are being prepared to walk in the fullness of who you're called to be. God's calling you into your destiny. He's calling you to be men and women of the Word of God, to know the Word, to meditate on it, to feast upon the meat of the Word, to eat it, to understand this one thing, that it is all about Jesus. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And he is the one that's coming back. And yes, he's going to be the most powerful individual in the universe because the Father has given it to him. And his heart is to mend your heart, not to live in sadness. He will rule from a place of righteousness and truth and love. And he will drive off all the evil off the planet. And in that 1,000 years, at the end, Satan is released once again. What does that mean? There's a lot of thoughts on that. He's prepared the earth. The earth has been restored. He's restored us. His government is ruling and reigning. There's nations thriving all over the earth. The tabernacle of David is restored. There's worship day and night, night and day, because he runs his government from a place of prayer and worship. Whoa. And Satan's released again. Then he's finally bound and thrown into the bottomless pit. Several people have this theory. It's almost like it takes 1,000 years. Yeah, he could do it like that. But there's a whole lot that God does in the midst of process and bringing us together. He restores the earth and he restores his kingdom. Satan is released one more time and he's thrown into the pit. Now the earth is fully restored after 1,000 years of being with him. And just maybe, this is theory, just maybe the Son looks at the Ancient of Days seated on the fiery throne with his wheels turning as the plans of God unfold. And he says, "Father, will you come and walk in the midst of your children again like you did in the garden? I want to stick to the path. I want to stick to the plan. And God has a plan. And when you know the Word, you're blown away by it." It's not good preaching. I'll tell you straight up, the days of superstar one man, one woman leadership, I believe a lot of that's going to change. I believe there's a lot of good people out there in those roles. But as the Lord and the day draws near, they're going to want to step away from that. They're going to want to serve. They're going to lay down everything for the glory of God. And all of us here, we're from different places. Why don't you just tell me just a little bit where you're from? Somebody just tell me where they came from tonight. Just raise your hand. If you're not from this Voice Ministries, where did you come from? Anybody, just raise your hand and tell me, shout it out. Go ahead, say, where'd you come from? Kalamazoo. Anybody else? Where are you from? What church? Say church. Doesn't matter. I'm not doing this. Go ahead. Okay. And who said that? St. Paul. Who else? Okay. Who else? In this little room. Go ahead. Okay. Who else? Yes. Life Center Goshen. Who else? Granger. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So that's a ways. Go ahead. Who else? Anyone else? Different location. The purpose of why the Lord said that meeting place. The meeting place was an open door so that the body of Christ could come in and get a fresh drink of cool water and be encouraged to walk in the things of God. God's heart is for the body of Christ. He loves the churches. He loves them. But I can tell you this, we're all going to get in one raging river soon. And it's not going to matter about a title or anything or a denomination. All that's going to matter is about Jesus. And it's going to be an awesome time for all of us. God wants to use us where we are. Michael, come on up. God wants to use us where we are and establish us but it's all for his glory. It's not for man's or woman's glory. It's for him. Why don't you guys stand and let's just pray and ask the Lord just to reveal the Holy Spirit to just stir us. That's the body of Christ. It's just not one church. It's many. And that's the Lord's heart, that we could become one as he and the Father is one. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to just, if you would, just for a minute, just close your eyes. And just, Michael, just play just for a minute. I don't want anything said. I just want to say a prayer, and I want you just to listen. Lord Jesus, wonderful counselor, divine healer, seated at the right hand of the Father, you see us here. You see all things. Would you just come and speak to us? Would you help us? Would you bring healing to us? And Holy Spirit, would you have your way to stir within our hearts hunger to know Jesus even more? Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you. All praying, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tonight is the night to know him. I just want you to come forward and we'll pray with you and you can receive him in your heart. If you've backslidden away from God and you just want to return to him, just come up and we'll just take time to pray over you and just pray that he would speak to you and restore you. Really feel the Lord just tugging on you to know him more, feel free to just come forward and we'll just spend some time in worship and prayer. We'll sing over you and just pray that God would just speak to you and that he would begin a fire in your heart. And as those come for prayer, just stay here for a couple minutes and then you can be dismissed. Just kind of keep your conversations down the hallway and foyer, and invite somebody next Tuesday night as we'll be speaking again about him. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, God. Have your way, Lord. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Jesus.
Than before,
yes, Lord.
Closer than I've ever been. Draw me closer than before, closer than
praying and worshiping for a little bit. May the Lord bless you and may you have a wonderful day. If you still would like to come forward and have prayer, we'd love to pray for you. We trust and give everything into his hands and trust him. Be blessed and be a light. Be a reflection of who he is. Go deep in the heart of his word. In Jesus' holy name.